Hello and welcome to 35 Minute Movies, a Vin Diesel podcast. This is the podcast where we're talking all things Vin Diesel. We're going through his entire filmography. We're ranking and reviewing every single movie. We're over halfway there now. We're having a great time. I'm Cameron, and as always, I'm joined by Vin Diesel's number one fan, Awais. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm excited. We're talking about some very awesome movies today, and I'm looking forward to it.
They're some of the most over-the-top movies you'll ever watch in your entire life, but they're also some of the best, in my opinion. They are.
I agree. This is the one I've personally been waiting for.
This is the most Vin Diesel episode I think we're going to get, and I'm actually really excited to see the scores at the end of this, because I feel like there's going to be some big hitters, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, some new number ones, so, yep. Maybe.
So we're talking Fast Five, directed by Justin Lin. This came out in 2011, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
yeah, right? 2011.
Oh, look at me go. I'm so smart. could you tell me about the plot to this film?
Yeah, so it sort of picks up after the events of the fourth one. Brian is now a... Well, so the film starts actually with sort of how Fast Four ends, and basically, Dom's been incarcerated and he's on his way to prison, and the sort of end scene for Fast 4, where sort of Brian and Mia are off to sort of break him out, that's the opening scene of this. And they do break him out, and basically they're on the run. And they're on the run in Rio de Janeiro, and after sort of they botch a heist job, they decide that they're sort of sick of being on the run and they want out. And so the way they do that is by bringing together various characters from the other Fast films to sort of make their family, and going after $100 million, which is owned sort of by the sort of criminal kingpin of Brazil.
And all that time they're being chased down by Mr. Luke Hobbs.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Portrayed by the one Dwayne Johnson. What do you think about this film? Because this is one of the most batshit crazy, but one of the best Fast films going.
It's my favorite Fast film. I love it. I think it's just so much fun. I mean, it's just, like, the action in this is terrific. You've obviously got the end sequence with the sort of the vault, and when they're destroying Rio de Janeiro with this vault, which is just obscene. But like up until that point, you know, you've got the sort of the police car race. You've got the My favorite sequence in any Fast and Furious film is the fight sequence between Dwayne and Vin, when they're just beating each other to an absolute pulp. Loads of great action sequences, but just this is sort of the big film that establishes the sort of tone and the family that we sort of go on to see in the rest of the franchise, because, you know, we bring back like Ludacris and Tyrese from Too Fast. We've got, you know, Han coming back, Gal Gadot coming back. And it's sort of like the super family that sort of goes on to, you know, this is the sort of crew that we now sort of know this franchise for.
Yeah, it's very it's almost like they're having their little endgame moment quite early, like a mid end, like the first event. It's like the first Avengers film in a way, where they're just bringing everyone together again. It's perfect in that way. I feel like the action sequences are great, but I also think one of the best things about it is the family's chemistry together. One of the most interesting aspects about this film is the fact that they all work so well together, and they all have a little thing, and Ludacris and Tyrese being very funny together. That's always great for me. But I just like that was one I was going to bring up. I'm so glad you did. The fight between Vin and Dwayne
it's is awesome.
One of the best things I've ever witnessed in my entire life.
It's great.
But the entire action sequences and the entire car sequences in this film are pretty incredible.
The train heist is like sort of that's what gets them into the mess in the sort of first place, because they end up stealing a car that has something valuable in it that someone wants, and you know it is a bit convoluted in terms of plot. Like, that's probably I think the issue with all of the sort of Fast films going forward, and the plot's just nonsensical. But then the thing is, what I love about this is it's so self-aware of that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not trying to make sense. It's not trying to be some cohesive, streamlined plot. It's just, you know, it throws all sort of rules out the window. But yeah, that train sequence is just great.
I think going off that and the whole convoluted thing and being self-aware, I think one of the best things they did was Luke Hobbs' character in terms of self-awareness, is the fact that he is just almost like an action figure in terms of just the way he is. Like, that man is just so... He's not a real person. It's shiny.
So shiny,
Dwayne Johnson is drenched for the entirety of this film. I would love to find out why, because he is just the wettest man you'll ever see. I was worried for his health at points. I don't know about you.
I agree. I put a meme on Twitter. I ended up deleting it because, but I don't know if you've seen that meme sort of going around, and it's like, I think it started with Aragorn from Lord of the Rings. And it's because he's always sort of dirty, and so it was like, POV, you've just touched Aragorn, and it's like, you know, the dirty hands. So mine was POV, you've just touched Luke Hobbs, and it's like wet hands, because he's just always dripping.
Why did you delete it? That was a perfect meme.
I don't know.
You'll have to tweet out again with the link to this podcast, is what you have to do. Yeah. You have to tweet out again on Friday. What you've done is you've saved it for a great promotion.
That's true. But here's the thing, it's like, he's not that sweaty in the other ones. I don't understand.
No, he dried off completely in Furious 6. I don't know what happened. He just completely was like, yep, I'm dry now. Maybe he was just always sweaty for some reason. Rio's a hot place. Maybe he's just sweaty.
Yeah, true. But yeah, what did you think of the rivalry between Hobbs and sort of Dom?
It's so funny because it ended up spilling off screen as well, in a way, which is the funniest thing about Fast and Furious films. But yeah, I think it was really cool because they are so evenly matched and at almost different ends of the spectrum, but they all kind of root for the same thing, which is great when they come together at the end. But it's just a great little rivalry. I love it. I love the fight. The fight is just so just bashing into things. They just right through windows, through walls, through doors, through railings, just falling onto tables. It was just, they really went, Dwayne used to be a wrestler, let's make him wrestle. And I was all for it. I was having a great
time. That fight took them a week to shoot, apparently.
No way.
Yeah, that was one of the sort of trivia facts for Fast Five. That whole fight sequence took them a week to shoot, over a week to shoot, which is mental.
What, was it getting like one shot a day or something? Like, it wasn't that long, was it?
I don't know. It's like, but then you hear about all these action sequences taking weeks and weeks to shoot.
Yeah.
Like the biggest, I remember a sort of featurette for Fast 9, and it's that sort of 2 second shot in the trailer of like the car sort of going through the wall, you know, like because of the magnet and sort of crashing into a truck. Mm-hmm. That took 2 weeks to shoot. For like literally a 3 second shot. I don't understand how.
It's insanity. It doesn't feel like it should take that long either. Like,
no,
they don't
I agree. And I was going to say that fight has a lot of stunt choreography. Like a lot of stunt work, which I assume probably takes a lot to sort of get right. And then you've got your angles. There's a lot of sort of stunt. And this is sort of one thing I wanted to mention about Fast Five in general, because it's one of the most practical of the sort of fast films.
Mm-hmm.
And the stunt work is crazy. Like that sort of opening train heist we were sort of talking about, that's all practical. And sort of a lot of the sort of races in this and stuff are practical. And I love that sort of commitment to the craft. To sort of pull off those sort of massive sequences without CGI. It's great.
Because I do feel they do sort of lean in towards the CGI elements a bit later on. Like, Fast 8, obviously, is just...
Bonkers. I mean,
you're not getting a real submarine. You're not getting a real submarine, are you? But yeah, it's that's what I respect the most about this film, is it's one of the most ones that it makes semi the most sense while also being the most fun to watch, while also being the one with the best sort of chemistry between family, and also being it ticks all the boxes for what needs to be in a Fast and Furious movie. I don't know, I think you're on the same page as me, where it just seems to just tick off all the boxes. It's a great fun time. It's a followable story that you can follow along. You're having a great time no matter what, in my opinion. So
I agree. And I think the characters in this are superb. And like, it gets those sort of, I don't want to say emotional moments, because it's not really an emotional film, but it sort of gets those character moments right. You know, like Brian sort of becoming a father. The sort of camaraderie between the group, sort of the rapport, even between Hobbs and his sort of team, like, you know, when they go down, sort of in that sort of sequence where they're ambushed, I mean, you sort of, you care for the sort of character dynamics, and I think that's something the Fast films have always done well, but sort of Fast Five, you know, onwards, especially, is, I think, is what makes them so great.
Definitely. Yeah, no, definitely. It's the wee moments as well. It's the bit where they're driving. It's the bit where they're driving the RC car for the police station. I love the little comedic moments with Ludacris and Tyrese there, and it goes on to the other films, and they're obviously very much comic relief and very much good friends by the end of it. But it's great to watch. Let's talk Vin.
Because
we've not spoken about Vin yet. How do you feel about our boy Vin? Is he a good performance for Vin, I feel? What are you thinking?
Yeah. I think when I think of Fast and Furious, I think Fast Five. And when I think Fast Five, I think Dominic Toretto in Fast Five. and when I think Vin Diesel, I think Dominic Toretto in Fast Five, because it's, you know, we talk about sort of Vin Diesel as a sort of action star today. This is sort of checking off all of those points. You know, he has that sort of soft center. He cares for his family. You know, he's got that sort of great speech, you know, where he's like, salute me familia and stuff. And, you know, but he's also that sort of hardcore, you know, again, that fight between Hobbs is just sort of shows you. And he sort of gets the balance just right. I mean, he's a superhero in this one.
Yeah.
He's a superhero in this one. And, you know, when we think Vin Diesel, we think superhero. So, yeah, I love Dominic Toretto in this.
I wouldn't say it's his most technically moved along performance. I still feel like Strays, Saving Private Ryan, stuff like that are still up there as my favorite Vin Diesel performances. But this is... Yeah, the criteria we laid out in the first episode of a Vin Diesel performance of a Vin Diesel character.
A really bad like criteria, one, by the way.
It's a criteria that we later went on to regret in a way because of how good Vin Diesel is in all these movies. I would say it's the most Vin Diesel you're gonna get, I think. But
yeah, I agree. Exactly. I mean, he's done better performances, but like in terms of Dominic Toretto, this is sort of the sort of everything you love and want from that character you get in Fast Five, sure. I think.
For sure. Do you want to score it? Do you want to score this bad boy? You feel like you've covered everything?
Yes, I feel like I have. I love Fast Five. I think it's my favorite of the franchise. It's just so much fun. And I could watch this film endlessly. I think it is a little bit incoherent in terms of plot. And, you know, there are sort of times as a result, I'm sort of like rolling my eyes. All of the scenes with the bad guy, with Reyes, are just crap and boring. Yeah. But like...
He's the most forgettable Fast villain, easily.
Easily. But then, so that's an interesting point, sort of just to quickly sidetrack. Would you class Hobbs as the villain of this more so than maybe Reyes?
I think Reyes is meant to be the proper villain. Hobbs is more of,
because that's a rival, that's the main rival
hero
of the film,
I guess. It's so difficult. That is a difficult one, because
I saw a tweet about that switches. So I was like, I saw a tweet and I was like, oh, it's an interesting argument.
What do you think?
In which I don't know. In which case, if you want to look at Hobbs as a villain, he is the best villain of the franchise in this, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think there's every argument to be made that he is. But I don't know, just because of the fact that, it's not even like Fast 6 he starts working with them. It's the end of this. He sort of gets his redemptive arc in this movie. So I don't know, maybe not sort of by that logic.
It's one that's up for debate. I personally don't think he is the main villain, at least. I think he has villain tendencies until the end, but I think he's always meant to be played out as someone just doing his job, and then he becomes part of the family anyway.
Yeah, I agree. My rating. Yeah, I just sort of
your score,
tangent there. My score, I'd give it 4 out of 5.
Four. All right. Okay. Yeah, I would have to agree. Like I said before, I've sort of already done my conclusion, I guess, a little further. Ticks all my boxes. If I could give it a 4.5, I would. I don't know if I would go as far as a 5.
I wouldn't go as far as a 5, yeah.
The villains are a bit all over the place, as I was just sort of mentioned there. And yeah, I think it is one of the most solid Fast and Furious movies. Easy.
That's great.
I have other 5-star Vin Diesel films, obviously Saving Private Ryan, and... I think one of the Guardians might be in the end.
I was about to say I've not had one yet, but I 1000% know one's coming, I think.
Yeah. We'll see how that
goes. Maybe even a couple, but yeah, as Vin Diesel in this sort of, I feel like we're both agreed on this. We've talked about our rating for this already.
Yeah. It's a 5. It's easily the most 5-star Vin Diesel movie you can get. It's perfect in that regard. He ticks all the boxes in terms of the whole family thing. He does the whole, you know, he's doing everything. What about you? Like you sort of summed it up as well. Like it is just his most archetypal character for Dominic. So it's just, you know, I mean, you can't go wrong. Furious, or Fast and Furious 6 to give it its proper title. It's also gone as Fast 6, Furious 6, and this is directed by Justin Lin. It's from 2013. What's the plot? What's happening in this one?
So, one thing we forgot to talk about in Fast 5 that sort of leads on to Fast 6 is we get a post-credit scene, and it's basically that Letty is supposedly alive. And so in this film, Hobbs is tracking a sort of expert group of mercenaries who are after some sort of, you know, technological device that's bad, and Letty's part of this crew. And so Hobbs recruits Dom and his team to sort of help him take down this, you know, led by Owen Shaw. And, you know, basically the point is he recruits them to help them take them down, and they get Letty back. And so they're all sort of working together, going through London, to stop Owen Shaw and his team.
Yeah, I think this is a really solid film. I think it is a genuinely, like, it's a good movie. It's not a bad Fast and Furious movie. I don't think it's the worst one at all by any stretch. I think it has its moments. Definitely. I think it's a bit weaker compared to Fast Five. But yeah, I'm curious to see what you think about this, because I have some faults, I guess.
I love it. I think it's great. I think when I think of sort of my favorite Fast films, it's probably Fast 5 and 6. I do think that this is a bit more sort of a mess. It's a bit more of a mess, sort of plot wise, than the fifth one. And that was already
something.
I was about to say, yeah, that was already quite incoherent. But I think what really works for me in this is Shaw and sort of Letty and sort of the bad guys. I think they're a sort of great rivalry to sort of Dom's family. Especially, I think, you know, obviously he's supposed to sort of be the sort of antithesis, because he's like Dom in the sense that, you know, he gets a job done, but whereas Dom sort of cares about the people, Shaw doesn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he shows you time and time again that he doesn't. And I really like their sort of rivalry. I think some of the action sequences are great. The plane finale is obviously been memed to death, but I think, you know, there's a lot.
How
sort
long
of...
was that runway? Let's God. Be honest. How long was the runway?
No, but I'm curious to know what you think.
You were talking about the rivalries there, and I think that was a good one. One of the things I did enjoy about this fact was the fact that this is the group that they're up against is almost an identical group to what they have. And they even crack a joke about it, is the fact that every single one of them has a match in that in Shaw's group, which is it's quite funny. I find the action sequences a bit more over the top in this one than they were in Fast 5. I think it's not as grounded as it was, which is fair enough, because the Drew just needs to keep... That's the thing about these Fast and Furious movies, you just have to keep topping each other and topping each other.
I was
going
to say, wait till we get to Furious 7.
I know, it's something else. I do think, like you said, the plot is completely all over the place. I never really got a sense of what Shaw was up to, other than there's a bomb, there's...
Something like that.
He's not happy. I laughed and rolled my eyes when he was like, it's a tech bomb, and I'm like, what the fuck's a tech bomb? Like, it's just an EMP from the mate. What you make it sound like? It's just literally just like a. It's like they've almost dumbed down. They've dumbed down stuff that doesn't need to be dumbed down in a way, which is quite amusing to me. Yeah, so it's very meh, but I think the cast is good and the sequence, some of the sequences are quite good, but yeah, it's not as solid as it could have been. What stands out to you is your favorite sort of action sequence in this?
I have a favorite moment, and it's the sort of moment that Vin Diesel picks up. So it's like sort of in the final scene when they're in the plane, and one of Shaw's guys is like huge, you know, the guy in the sort of pink top, and Vin Diesel picks him up by his legs, and Dwayne Johnson sort of like runs and like sort of jumps, and that moment is just they're sort of tag teaming at this big guy. It's just good. I think some of the action sequences are a little bit more forgettable, like they're still really enjoyable, and like I still really love the sort of bridge sequence with the tank and everything.
Well, that's the thing about the tank I was reading beforehand, the tank was done practically. That's a practical tank. Like, Justin Lin was like, they were originally going to do it with CGI, and Justin Lin was like, nah, guys, it's fine. We're getting a real tank, and we'll just clean it up in post. We want the real tank, which is the most Fast and Furious thing you would ever get, I feel, is the fact that they got a real tank for this, to do the stunts, which, fair play to them, makes it better. But yeah, the tank chase is, I think, maybe my favourite-ish bit, I guess.
It's good.
I just find, the thing about this one is I find it so forgettable in places, which is really disappointing for me. It's not my least favourite Fast and Furious film, but it just... some of the moments feel really forgettable, and some of the comedy falls flat as well. Like, I feel like the moments with like Ludacris and Tyrese, and I think Ludacris and The Rock are paired up for a lot of this as well.
Yeah.
The bit with the auctioneer is not funny. It's not.
And no, I agree.
The one where they make him take off his clothes as well, and you're just like haha, I guess. I'm not eight, am I? Like, come on. And
that's actually sort of a good point. I like Hobbs in this, but I don't like him compared to sort of Fast Five Hobbs. Mm-hmm. He feels like a completely different character.
Yeah. They toned him down almost, which is weird.
Yeah. Yeah. They completely toned him down. And they do sort of maintain this Hobbs throughout. But like, I get it. I feel like Fast Five Hobbs doesn't fit in the sort of world they want to create. But it's just a shame, because he is the best part of Fast Five. That they do sort of remodel that character slightly.
They also got him a towel, which was nice of them. I'm glad they got him a towel to dry off a little bit, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good for them, but yeah, it's he went from, he does sort of re-toy soldier himself up a little bit. He does sort of become larger than life as the films go on, but almost like they did hit a reset button and just went back to not even square one, because obviously all we knew him was, but they just sort of toned him down a bit, then slowly turned the dial up as they went for the films. Because by Furious 8 and then Hobbs and Shaw, he is just, I don't even know what after the grab in Hobbs and Shaw, he's something insane in Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah. But I think at that point they've established that Hobbs well enough that you can get on board that. But I think sort of, and you know, again, even comparing Hobbs and Fate of the Furious to sort of Hobbs and Fast Five, they're different. And I think sort of going, you know, and that works when you've sort of seen a few films of Hobbs, and you know, it's sort of, that is his character at that point. But I think going from Fast Five to Fast Six, it's just a little bit jarring. But Dominic Toretto in this, what do you think of Dom?
Dominic Toretto, what does he do? Apart from, I do you know what I mean? I'm like, again, I'm sitting saying to myself, what even did Dom do other than sort of like, he didn't have much of a rousing speech. It was almost like they spread everyone a bit too thin, and I think Dom got left to the side. I agree.
I think he's the one. I think from this film, he's the one character you can take out and nothing changes. Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, obviously he's got that sort of relationship with Lefty, and they sort of explore that, but really I think you can take out his character and nothing changes. Whereas in Fast Five, you know, he's sort of a big factor of what's going on and how everything's sort of going down.
Exactly, which is, it's disappointing, but I suppose it needs to happen. You need to change it up. You need to explore your other characters, which is fine. I did like the dynamic between him and Letty, and I did like them exploring that a bit more. And I've almost forgotten what happened in Fury 7, so I'm kind of excited to see what happened in Fast and Fury 7.
I am a bit ahead of the curve, and I've watched I've watched 7 and 8. And no, I remembered 7 being sort of worse than it was, which was good, I was pleasantly surprised by that. I will say that you're right in the sense that this does give the other characters a chance to sort of shine a bit more. I really liked Han and Giselle's relationship in the sixth one.
Yep. Yeah. I think. It's just a shame. Rest in pepperonis and all that. Oh dear.
I think she could be alive.
Come back.
I was going to say, she looks... Yeah, she... You know, we don't explicitly sort of see her dying.
No. So... She just sort of disappears. I think she'll come back for the endgame stuff. I think once they get into their Infinity War and Endgame, I think they're coming back.
I think
it'll be very interesting to see.
But here's the other thing. It's like, how can you not cash in on Gal Gadot now?
Exactly. Exactly. You've got a recipe for one of the best films of all time. When you've got... No, Citizen Kane, Paddington 2, no thank you. Fast and Furious 10 and 11.
10 and 11, yeah.
One film. Just the double bill. That's what you need. It's going to be one coherent masterpiece. Let's move on to the scores then. What are you thinking for an overall score?
Overall score, I'd probably go 4. Which I know is the same I gave sort of Fast 5. But I do sort of really, really enjoy Fast 6. I think it's... just a well sort of made, well put together, very enjoyable movie. And for that reason, yeah, I mean, I always have a great time when I watch it. Maybe not as memorable, but still, I think, just as enjoyable. So 4, I'd give it 4.
Okay, I would go 3, I think. I would go 3 just because I feel like it is one of the weaker ones. It's not in my top 3, I don't think. I don't think it's in my top 3 Fast and Furious films. And I think it's just... So Vin Diesel ranking, what are you thinking for that then as well?
Probably a 4.
Okay.
I think again we've sort of now established the Dom that we sort of know and love, but I feel like he doesn't get as much to do in this as some of the other films. And I think for that reason he doesn't get as much time to sort of, you know, be that sort of character that we sort of know and love. He's there, he's very much there, and we do sort of see elements of it, but I feel like he doesn't get as much time to sort of show that to the audience. But you know, it's 4 of 4, I would go for it for that, yeah.
I'm gonna go for a 3, I think, for this.
Why? Give me the reasons.
I just feel it's just like you've almost said the reasons, but I think I feel more strongly. It's just the fact he doesn't have a lot of screen time.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a lot to play with. I like the Letty stuff. I like all that. I just feel they let my boy down, and I think there is better Vin Diesel. I think Fast 5 is obviously the epitome of Vin Diesel stuff, but I feel some of the later ones also are very Vin
Diesel. I agree with that.
So
yeah. I think what this film wanted to do with Vin, or should have done with Vin, I think the later films do. Like for example, Furious 7, we get that Letty stuff plus sort of, you know, but that's at the sort of forefront of the story.
So, we're on the ultimate Vin Diesel list of... insanity at this point. It is one of the weirdest lists you'll ever hear in your entire life. I will walk you through what's happening on the list now. So we have at number one a brand new number one. It's with 18 out of 20, which is the highest score we've had so far. Fast 5, which is pretty
deserved.
Number two is Strays, the first Vin Diesel movie, still holding a good place in my heart, I think. Number three is Saving Private Ryan. Now, number four is a slot that is up for grabs now, which was previously held by the fate of the Fast and the Furious, which with 14 out of 20, we had also given that... We'd given that a higher space over Triple X. So, I'm assuming that we think Furious 6 is better than Triple X, but I don't know. Like, what are you thinking? So we've got to decide where we want to place it. So we've got do you want it below? Do you want it in the middle between them? Or do you want it underneath Triple X or above the Fast and the Furious? Like, what are you thinking?
I have a very controversial opinion here.
Okay.
Because I know I rated this film lower, but I think Triple X should be higher.
All right.
Because this is a Vin Diesel list. And so
okay.
Triple X is sort of an important part of his career, and Xander Cage is an important character in his sort of filmography. And I prefer Fast 6 as a movie, but I think if we're sort of comparing Vin Diesel's sort of influence in both movies, I think Triple X would take the edge. I think. What about you?
I think I would agree with that opinion. I think it is a much more Triple X is much more essential viewing to get the idea of what Vin Diesel is as a character. I think all the films above it are also more maybe essential viewing for Vin, to get an idea of Vin Diesel as an actor and a character. But I think Triple X is one of the top five essential ones. So that would knock Furious 6 into the sixth place. So I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I think it's fitting. Yeah. I think it's fitting.
Well, it is the sixth film in the Fast and Furious franchise, and it is the sixth place. So that is So the Fast and the Furious stays at number 4, Triple X is at number 5, Furious 6 is at 6, Chronicles of Riddick is at 7. Boiler Room is at 8. Fast and Furious 4 is at 9. The Pacifier is at 10. The Iron Giant, oh my god, that's so far down the list, 11. Babylon AD is at 12. Pitch Black, again, I feel so bad about that being down the list, is at 13. Knocker on Guys is at 14. And A Man Apart at... I've missed count, haven't I? 6.
You've missed one.
I've missed one. But you get the idea. You can see it on your screen if you're watching on the video. But it doesn't matter anyway, because I think we've agreed on the last episode to do a little bit of rearranging and make sure we're happy with everything, I think.
Yeah, in the sort of final episode, once we've seen everything, I think at that point
we'll... Yeah, exactly.
Because I feel like I agree with you. Some of these films, once you've sort of seen other movies, like, I have a real soft spot for Strays now, more so than ever before. Sort of knowing that sort of that was Vin's first and he directed it and everything. I have like a real soft spot for that now. And I think sort of these other films recontextualize some of these other movies, and I feel like we'll definitely have some debates in that final one.
I just want justice for the Iron Giant at this point. I just want some justice for the Iron Giant.
Look, we established the criteria.
And we're regretting the criteria every day, but we have to stick to it now. We've made a promise to ourselves, so we have to stick to it. So that's that. I know you need to get away. We did have some Fast 9 news to talk about, such as we did sort of discuss that. We got a new EW podcast that came out that was covering Fast 9. Basically stole our idea, and we're going to sue. At some point, we are going to sue at Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, I can't believe they've done that.
They got Vin before us, and I'm upset about that.
Michael Caine?
Yes, by the way. The tidbit that came out was the fact that they are looking for a daddy in the Shaw family, and it looks like it's going to be Michael Caine.
I don't know if it looks like it's going to be, or if it already is. It seems like maybe
he's a cameo in this, or he's cast for 10. God knows at this point, but it's very interesting. Yeah. We'll have to see how that all plays out.
I want to quickly mention a theory that I have.
Okay.
So based on all of these sort of EW interviews, one of the sort of key things that Vin kept saying was, Fast 9 is going to recontextualize the first film, and it's going to sort of give us a perspective on some aspect of the first film. I think in the first film, that Dom talks about, the thing they keep talking about is how Dom sort of beat someone half to death with a socket wrench. I wonder if maybe that's his brother, and that's why they're not speaking for some reason, and that's why he's been absent all these years.
You've called it. You've absolutely nailed it on the head. That is exactly it. You
maybe.
Have.
I think so.
I would put money on that. I would genuinely, if I could bet on who he hit the soccer wrench, I think that is 100%.
Because that's the biggest part of the first film, which would completely recontextualize that and the characters in the rest of the films. And explain sort of the absence of John Cena. So,
but it must have been something bad that John Cena did to deserve that, if he would turn on his family. So
I know. Because we're going to see young Dom and Jacob, so...
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
It's gonna be a very interesting movie, that is for sure. I'm looking forward to it. That is July 9th. I can't believe it's so fucking long.
It's ages away.
It's out now. You can go and see it. If we lived in the bloody Philippines, we could have gone and seen it by now. It's literally out in the world. It's so sad. Yeah, so that is us. I think that's us. Next week it is Riddick. And something else that I've pronounced.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Wow. This is exciting times. So,
yes.
Yeah, we're going to have a great fun time with that. I'm excited to see what this Riddick turns out to be, because I've heard it's more horror than the space fantasy that was the last one. So it's returning to the pitch blacky roots, which is exciting. And then Guardians is also just one of the best MCU movies still to this day, I would argue. So yeah, let's see how this all pans out. You can watch that next week. I've been Cameron. You can follow me on Twitter at CamzoOG. I'm doing some more Twitch stuff now that I've got more free time, so I should be on twitch.tv/Camzo_OG at some point, so we'll see how that all goes. You can also find the other podcast I do, Four Eyes in the Giant, on YouTube, if you just search Four Eyes in the Giant, or on other podcast services. I do that with Jordy Steele. We talk about some nerdy topics every week, which is, I think it's always a good fun time.
It's a good lesson.
Awais, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Oasis Awais, or on thefilmbite.com. I've just started my weekly fast reviews, so go and read them.
It's a good read, I have to say. I enjoyed my read. So that's all us. That's us, isn't it?
That is us.
Right. We'll see you all next week for Guardians of the Galaxy and Riddick. Have a good one. See you later.